To have you in our presence this morning. If you will, open your Bible to the book of Luke and the 15th chapter, and that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time. If you're visiting and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll kindly show me the error in my way, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God, be immersed into Christ in baptism for the remission of sins, be added to the family of God, and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. In the book of Luke, in the 15th chapter, I want to read with you verse 20 to get the thought for our study. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, the day is the Lord's day, first and foremost. We are to gather together as Brother Danny prayed in his prayer on the first day of the week because it belongs to the Lord. And at the same time, today we're thinking about fathers. And as we think about fathers, I want us to think about our Heavenly Father. And when you read the book of Luke and the 15th chapter, it stand amazed. Notice that every time you read the parable of the prodigal son, many lessons just jump out. I believe one could read this text and study it daily and not touch the hem of the garment to all that is involved. But in our study, I want us to draw some attention to some things that Jesus brought out and then make application and the lesson is yours. The first thing I want us to observe is when you look in the book of Luke and the 15th chapter, that there is a young man who comes to his father and he asks for his inheritance. I want you to stop and to consider for just a moment, that would be a great insult. What that young man is saying to his father is that, Father, you've lived longer than I thought you would. And instead of waiting until you die to get my inheritance, I would just assume you give it to me now. Here is a young man who's basically telling his father, I wish you were dead, and I could have the money, the inheritance, that I would receive after your death. But instead of waiting until you die, why don't you just give me my inheritance? I want you to think about what an insult that would be to the father. That here was a young man that came to his father, and he said to his father, give me my inheritance. Then if you take your Bible, notice that that young man goes into the far country. And one thing you can say about the young man is he knew he wouldn't stay near his father to do the things he planned to do. But that young man went into the far country, and the Bible said he wasted his money on prodigal living. He was one that went out and lived in the very filth of sin. He did all that which was iniquity and contrary to what his father taught him. And thus this young man in the far country lived in the very filth and mire of sin. But then the Bible says that a famine hit. And I've often wondered, what if the famine had not hit? What would that young man have done? But because of the famine, his friends desert him. He has no money. He attaches himself to someone who keeps swine. And he goes to the pig pen. And there he is watching over pigs. And that would be a low state of affairs for any Jewish boy. And can you imagine as he is there in the pig pen, he becomes so hungry that he decides that he would like to eat what the pigs are eating. Then I want you to take note that in your Bible, in the book of Luke and the 15th chapter, in verse 17, the Bible says, when he came to himself. In other words, all of a sudden, that boy begins to think about home. That boy, while he is in the pig pen, begins to think about his father's house. Here that young man turns his attention back home. His father's house, with all its rules and regulations, was a lot better than the mire of the pig pen. And he decides to go home where his father's servants are, and he's going to ask his father, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. I realize what I did was a great insult to you, but just make me one of your servants. Just let me be a hired hand on the land. Let me just serve you. He says, I'm not worthy to be called a son. And so that young man heads home. And I've often thought about how he must have felt the closer he got to home. However, notice the Bible records that the father saw the son afar off. I don't know if the son saw the father. But one thing I know for sure, and the Bible's very clear in the matter, the father saw the son. And notice the Bible says he ran to meet him. I'm made to wonder if the people in that village where he grew up would be staring at that young man. And I wonder if they thought, here comes the ungrateful young man. And I've often wondered, did he feel ashamed? But one thing I do know, without any outside help, all of a sudden, here comes the father running. He endured the shame by running. In that day, men did not run. You had to hike up your robe to run. It was undignified. And yet that man, when he saw his son, was no longer concerned about his dignity. He was not concerned about what others thought. His only concern was getting to the son. His concern was getting to get back together with his son. He ran. And notice he had to run and endure the shame so his son would not. And then notice that in the book of Luke and the 15th chapter, notice that the Bible says that he came to him and he embraced him. It fell on his neck means that he grabbed a hold of him. And he hugged the young man. Now think about for just a moment, that young man had been in the pig pen. He was unclean. And here the father, perhaps out of breath, but not out of love, hugs the son. He's not scared to embrace his son. His father grabs the son. Now, the son may have been afraid to embrace the father, but the father grabs the son, and he sees the son in the tattered clothes, maybe the smell of swine on him, and yet he puts all that aside, and then he begins to kiss him. And in the Greek, that word kiss there means repetitively. And what I'd like to do is to think about, for the remainder of our time, the kisses of the father. I want you to think about every time he kissed the son, it was a kiss that meant something. Have you ever thought about the kisses of the father? I like that statement. The Bible said he ran, he fell on his neck and kissed him. Have you first thought about that when he came and kissed him, he gave him the kiss of much forgiveness? The son had many sins to confess, but before he ever came to the details of them, the father had forgiven him. Notice he said, I have sinned. And he said, against heaven and before you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Notice he doesn't, that was going to be his speech, but he never gets that far in this speech. Look at verse 21. The father had already embraced him and kissed him, and the son just says, I have sinned against heaven and your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father cuts him off. He never gets to say, can I just be a servant? The father is already turning to the servants and say, bring out the robe and get sandals. Bring them to my son. He never gets to the point to say, can I just be a servant? Because the father is already indicating to him he's forgiving. He gives him the kiss of forgiveness. He didn't treat him like an unworthy, untrusting person. He kissed and forgave him. I've often wondered about how many parents would have been embarrassed by their son's deeds, their rags, their filth. Yet this father was overjoyed that his son was home, that his son came home, and he gave him the kiss of forgiveness. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to think about a second kiss. He gave the kiss of restoration and reconciliation. Notice that the son was going to say, make me a servant as we brought out. But the father shows him he's still a son. He says, go get the ring. That would be the family signet ring. He said he needs a ring before he goes back home. And then he says, go get shoes, sandals for his feet. Slaves went barefooted, not sons. And he said, my son will not enter back into the house barefoot. My son is going to wear shoes. And then he said, get the best robe. Who would have the best robe? The father would. And he said, you bring it and you put it on him. He's going to take off this tattered, battered robe and he's going to be reconciled. And when the Father kissed him, he kissed the kiss of restoration and reconciliation. Can you imagine being the Son? You've done all these things against your Father. You've defiled His name. You put His name in the mire. You've been out in the very filth of sin. You've transgressed His word. You've made Him look bad. You told Him you wish He was dead. And then you have the audacity to come home, and yet He sees you in the distance. He runs to you. He embraces you. Can you not picture how that Son must have felt? He knew He was unworthy of this love. He knew that He didn't deserve this kind of compassion. He knew He didn't deserve reconciliation. The Father could have just stood there and said, "Yep, I thought you'd be back. How dare you walk in my home after what you've done? Do you not know what you've done to the family name? Do you think you are coming back? You got exactly what you deserve." But that's not the Father. This Father runs and kisses His Son, and He shows forgiveness. He shows restoration. But not only that, He gives the kiss of joy. The Father's heart overflowed with joy that His Son had come home, that He was all right. Remember, in the Father's eyes, He said, "My Son which is lost is found. My Son which is dead is now alive." Spiritually, He was lost and dead. But the Father at that time, He didn't know about His Son's condition. Had the Son died in the far country? What had the Son been doing? He didn't know. And the Son comes back. And notice, He said, "My Son which was lost is found, and he's dead and is alive." And the Father is overjoyed. And notice, my friend, He gives one kiss after another. He said, "He is alive again." Look at the kisses of the Father. The kiss of much love. The kiss of much forgiveness. The kiss of restoration and reconciliation. The kiss of joy. But then look again and think about the fact that every time that the Father embraced and kissed that Son, it was a kiss of assurance. It was a kiss of comfort. This young man, tired, hungry, weak, guilt-ridden. And the Father kisses, deals with the past. He forgave him. It deals with the present. I'm not ashamed of him. And it deals with the future. "Daddy, what if I go astray again?" And the Father kisses him again and says, "We will face the future together." And then that kiss of assurance. The Father kissed him until he knew he was forgiven. That he had a chance to start all over again. He probably felt like his Father would never trust him, that his Father would never restore him. And the Father embraced him and kissed him until he felt assured that his Father had blotted out his iniquity. Now I want to take that. I want to make application and the lesson's yours. You know, my friend, the first thing we need to understand is, have you ever thought about how much God loves us. There's that song, "How Deep the Father's Love Is for Us." And I want you to understand this morning that God is not looking out in heaven to zap us, but God is looking down and God is willing to run to us if we return to Him. I'll tell you, my friend, the Father's love is so deep that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrated His love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever thought, my friend, that God has given us the kiss of love? We love Him. Why? 1 John says, because He first loved us. He's shown us His love. What more can God do to show you that He loves you than the sending of His Son? To die in a place you deserve to die. On a cross where we deserve, because the penalty of sin is death. Not just physical death, but an eternal death. And yet the Father put His Son on that cross, and there He died, a place we deserved. He put His only Son there so we would not be lost forever. I'll tell you, that's a kiss of love. But then in your Bible, in the Colossian letter and the first chapter, think about the second kiss we receive from the Father when we make our life right with Him. We have redemption. through His blood, He says in verse 14, the forgiveness of sins. Have you ever felt the joy of being forgiven? Have you ever been racked with guilt, knowing that you lived wrong, what you've done was wrong, and yet the Father in heaven's not looking down saying, you deserve this, you deserve that. What He is saying to us is, if you return to Me, I will return to you, as He said in Malachi. Come home. Now He does say there will be everlasting damnation for those who won't come to Him. But that's your choice. The Son could have stayed in the far country and just died there and been lost. But the Son said, I will have enough conviction to admit I was wrong. I will go to the Father. And notice the Father is willing to forgive. Isn't that beautiful? No matter the sin you've committed, no matter the wrong you've done, if you come to God and you repent of your sin and you make your life right, God will forgive. If you've never been baptized, you can be baptized to have your sins blotted out. And if you have and you went back into the world, have you ever thought that the Father is waiting for you to come home? The Father's watching, waiting. It's not His will that you perish apart from Him. It's His will that you repent. It's His will that you be restored and reconciled. You can have the kiss of reconciliation. Go back to the Roman letter and the 5th chapter and look at verse 10. It said, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Underscore reconciled. Through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Because of the Father sending His Son, we can now be reconciled. What is reconciliation? It's coming back together. Well, what separated us from God? Isaiah tells us in Isaiah that our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. We're the ones that did the departing. We're the ones that shook our fists at God. We're the ones that lived in rebellion. But God said, if you come back, I'm willing to reconcile with you. I'm willing to restore you. I'm willing to make you My child again. I love you so much. Have you ever thought about the kisses of the Father? Have you ever thought about what it's like to have your sins blotted out and to have the relief of being forgiven and to have peace of mind and to know that I've been restored to God, I've been reconciled to God, and then to think about the kiss of joy? In Luke 15:10, when Jesus begins this parable, what did He say? He said, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. Have you thought that the angels rejoice when one person comes to their senses and says, I'm coming home, God. I'm not worthy to be your son. And yet God says, you are My son. You are My daughter. And by faith, He gives us the kiss of joy. We can be joyful that we're children of God. But He also gives us the kiss of comfort. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, He talked about the second coming of Christ. He talked about that the dead shall be raised, and then those who remain shall be caught up in the air. But notice how He ends in verse 18. He said, comfort one another with these words. You know why? Because then we're going home. We will be with the Father. Enjoy the kiss of love and the kiss of forgiveness and the kiss of reconciliation and joy, and think of the comfort we have that we've come to a right relationship with God, and think about the assurance we can have. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter. When you come to the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter, look at verse 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He said, have assurance. Have a clean conscience. You're not living contrary to God's will, but you've come back to the Father. You've made your life right with the Father. And the Father is overjoyed that you're right with Him. I want to know, my friend, have you ever been forgiven by God? Have you ever been baptized? And if you've been baptized, have you wandered back away from Him? I want to know, my friend, have you come back to Him? Have you experienced the joy and the kisses of the Father? Have you ever seen His love and thought about the forgiveness and the restoration, the reconciliation, the comfort, the assurance, and the joy He provides in being His child? What a joy. I want you to think about my friend this morning. You can know how that young man felt if you ever received the kiss of God. When we make our life right, God rejoices because we've come home. We were lost. We were dead. But we came to ourselves. We've repented. We come back. And the Father doesn't stand there and say, "You're getting what you deserve." No, He runs to greet us. And I'll tell you something, my beloved friend. If that doesn't touch your heart, pray tell me what will. Do you need to come home? The Father's waiting to give you the kiss of love. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.